Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Isaiah, and we're in chapters 43 and 44. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
He says, "He maketh a way in the sea, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, and they are now extinct." He's talking about getting delivered out of Egypt. He brings off. What in the world was the Pharaoh thinking? Go after them, for goodness sake. No, wait a minute. You crazy people, they're with God. We just are kind of hanging out here. And when they entered and the last Israelite exited, they were wiped out and made extinct. That's a pretty big vignette on the canvas of history. And if you go now underneath the waters over in the Red Sea, you find chariot wheels that are petrified. Crazy. Evidence everywhere. Bible says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old." He's not asking a question. He's telling them, don't remember your fumbles. Don't remember your foibles. Did you know the Bible says that His mercies are new every morning? Isn't that good to know? He's telling Israel, don't be remembering the things of old. He says, I'm going to do a new thing. Isn't that neat? I'm going to do a new thing. He says, I will even make a way in the wilderness. In verse 19. Why do they need a way in the wilderness? Well, if you read the book of Revelation, there's not going to be any water for a long time. You know, all the springs, all the water is going to be fouled. Wormwood's going to come and take what little's left after half the tribulation has gone through and into those bold judgments. And they're going to be scorched. And we find in chapter 7 of the book of Revelation at the very end, it says, even those who come out of great tribulation, they will be no more thirsty. Heat of the sun will no more light upon them. He said, I'm going to do a new thing. And He's going to take 7 years to get Israel back righted with Him. And He says, you don't even have to look at the old things anymore, because I'm doing a new thing. And by the time I'm done with you, you're going to be honorable indeed. They're like the family that wanted to be on the throne, just like everybody wanted to be on the throne with Jesus. But there's only one person who's going to sit by Jesus and His throne, and that's the church. That's His bride, just like the king and the queen. You know, we get to sit with Him. But Israel's just the... Like John was the friend of the bridegroom. That's the best man. He says, I rejoice. I've seen the bridegroom. I'm good. And when he died, he was the last vestiges of the Old Testament prophets. But now Jesus has a bride He's waiting to come for. And that's what He will do. I'll do a new thing. I'm going to make a way in the wilderness. The beast shall honor me. All these things are going to honor me. He says, I'm going to give drink to my people in verse 20. They're thirsty. You know, if you're super thirsty and there is no water, you would appreciate this. We just have a faucet, we turn it on, we're good all the time. But I'm telling you, this is huge, isn't it? You know. Verse 21 says, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. That's what the millennial kingdom is all about. The tribulation is getting Israel back in the game. And that's why being back in the land in 1948 to present day is huge. Because they're back. God's getting ready to put them back in the game. And when He goes through the tribulation, they will finally, in Zechariah chapters 12, 13, and 14, they will see Him whom they pierced. And they will mourn for Him as for an only son. They will ask Him, what are these wounds in your hands? He says, they are the wounds which I received in the house of my friends. And that is going to be all put in the rear view. Don't remember those things. He says, I'm going to do a new thing. Verse 22, but thou hast not called upon me. Thou hast been weary of me. Neither hast thou honored me with sacrifices. He's saying, I get it. I get it. He says, not only that, verse 24 says, but you have made me to serve with your sins. That is a huge word. You might underline it, because that is what's happening in the church as it winds down. We've gotten to the place where grace is so exploited that people are making God to serve with their sin. That's not a good thing. That's why the Laodicean church period is a very scary place to live, because if you're looking at somebody to the right and to the left of you, you may look pretty good compared to that, but you still may be asking God to serve with your sin, because the church is a mess, right? You know? It's sort of like the girl who would perhaps have a wedding and she's outside and it was all planned and the wind came up and her hair blew and her eyes got wet because rain came and all her mascara and her dress. Yeah, that's us, man. We're getting beat up down here. And for you and me as individuals, we need to make sure our wedding garments are kept in order. That's up to us. But he was made to serve with their sins. That means God, even in Babylon, even in their dispersion, they were making God to serve with the sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. And that's one very profound word right there, isn't it? But look what he says in the next verse. I am he that blotteth out thy transgression for my sake, my own sake. You know, when the Israelites would pray, dear God, please have mercy for David, thy servant's sake. Does that put it in a little bit of perspective that when we say, in Jesus' name, we don't deserve to have our sins forgiven, but in Jesus' name, please. Oh, now I got it. Now I get it. He forgives me in Jesus' name, for Jesus' sake. Not because I deserve it, but because Jesus, oh, he delivered salvation full and free. It's a complete work. That's why when he said it is finished, he was saying it is paid in full. Tetelestai. He says, thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. He says, but I blotted out your transgression for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together and declare thou that thou mayest be justified. And you know what that's saying? It's plead means we're going to have a courtroom drama here. You know, you bring your facts, I'll bring mine. And he says, you put me in remembrance. And now you can finally be justified. You will not be justified in your own efforts, in your own works, in your own devices, or in your own designs. He says, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Let's go to court about this. He says, put me in remembrance. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. That's what the 144,000 are going to do. They're going to say, Jesus was a Messiah. That's what all the saved Jews are going to do in Israel. That's what the two witnesses are going to do in Israel as they preach for 3.5 years. And they're going to preach that Jesus is why they're saved. Not because of themselves, because they already know that ship has sailed. Couldn't have been that. And any of us who are honest know it couldn't have been that for us either. He says, put me in remembrance. You might underline those words to remind you what that verse is all about. Verse 27 says, thy first father had sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. What he's saying is, he's saying, I get it. I get it. You know what the first father's probably referencing? The Moabites and the Canaanites and all of them. They were the ones that they mimicked. He said, don't be like those nations. And there's a verse that talks about they were their father in one sense. We could go all the way back to Adam. We could say, like David said in Psalm 51, he says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. I've got a sin nature. I'm a mess. But he's saying, I get all that. I understand that. That's why I'm standing by you. Isn't that crazy? It's like, okay, I get it. You ever met somebody, you were really wondering why they're so mean all the time, and then finally you heard their story? And you realize, man, they've been bumped, hit, beaten, battered, rejected, hated. And all they're doing is hitting back before anybody gets close to them. And pretty soon you're like, man, I feel really bad about that. I really need to do something for Joe or Jill or whatever. I need to help. And that's what God does with you and me. He knows what you're like. He knows why you're the way you are. Verse 28 says, therefore I have profaned the princes of sanctuary and have given Jacob to the curse and Israel to reproaches. Now understand what he's saying in essence is he's saying, yeah, I know. I know. You've been under judgment. You've been under a curse. It's been tough. But you know what? 1900 years later, you still are a people. Who can say that? 70 AD to 1948. Okay, just a little under 1900 years. These people still are a people. Not only are they still a people, but now they're back to a land that was all but a desert when they showed up, and now it's springing forth. He, God, is amazing. Verse 1 says in the next chapter, yet now hear, O Jacob. He says, fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun. Jeshurun means upright one. Upright one. He's calling him upright. You know, when God saved me, he called me son. You know what he did? He went beyond it. He said, saint. He said, child of God. He says, joint heir with Christ. He says things to me that I just say, well, wait a minute. It can't be me. Are you? Linda said she went into this place recently and the lady knew my daughter and she knew Linda from having met her once. She said, hey, it's so good to see you. Linda's like, what? Who? What? You know, because she didn't know the lady that well. But because my daughter had made a good impression and my
wife was also connected to her in that woman's mind. She was treating her like an old friend. You know what God does? He treats you like his child. Come on in and sit on my lap. Because you're mine. And my mark is upon you. He says, come. He says, hear now. He says, fear not, because you're a Jeshurun who I have chosen. Verse 3 says, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. I love that. If you're thirsty, you've seen it, right? Somebody taking a drink, pretty soon they take a whole bucket just poured on. This is going to be a really hot time during the tribulation. The Bible says the sun is going to scorch men on earth. They're going to cry out for that plague. He said, I'm going to pour out water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground, and I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. This is a great hope. Verse 5 says, one shall say, I am the Lord's, and another is going to surname himself by the name of Israel. This is sort of like getting a check mark on your sneakers, you know, or you know, getting a Land's End insignia here. They're going to be all about it. Okay, they're going to be all about God. That's what he's saying. And he says in verse 6, I am the first and the last, and beside me there is no God. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, which was, which is, and which is to come. I'm the beginning and the ending. He says in chapter 1, verse 11, he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. He says in chapter 1, verse 17, fear not, I am the first and the last. Did you hear that? First and the last? Jesus saying, I'm the first and the last. By the way, verse 8 says, I am the Almighty. Of Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. He says in verse 17, I'm the first and the last. Revelation 2, verse 8, I'm the first and the last. Revelation 22, verse 13, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Here we have it said that God says, I am the first and the last. Beside me there is no God. Who is Jesus? He is God. We need to worship him. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. He was never called that by a proper name. It was what people understood him to be. Doubting Thomas falls to his knees and says, my Lord and my God. We need to understand the hope we have is not just sort of a hope so. It is a no-so. It is an anticipation. And it will get you past the nonsense of these desperate times. Verse 8 says, fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have I not told thee from that time and have declared it? He says, I've told you all along. He says in verse 7, and who, as I, shall call and shall declare it and set it in order for me since I appointed the ancient people? Who has done it like I have done and the things that are coming and shall come? Let them show unto them. He says, there's no other God that did this. I told you what was coming and I did it. This, by the way, makes sense of Romans. You might put it in your margin for looking at later. Romans chapter 9 and verses 10 and 11, where the Bible says, it's not to him that works, but of him that calleth. When he says calleth, he's not talking about calling people out. He's saying he called it. Just like he says here, and who as I shall call and shall declare. He's saying, I call it and it happens. Okay? Flip a coin, call it. He calls it. He called it. It's not him that works, but of him that calls. God is the one who calls. That's a connective to Romans chapter 9. Verse 8 says, ye even are my witnesses. That's what's happening in the millennial kingdom. There is witnesses. Verse 9 says, they make graven images, and there's a whole discussion about graven images. It ends at the verse 20 where he says, he feedeth on ashes. He that makes graven images feeds on ashes. Why does he say that? Because he says after a while, those graven images that are made of wood, they wear out, and they get chinked, and they get messed up, and finally they chop them down, put them on the wood, and they make their roast. He says, you know, they're feeding on ashes. I am God, and you are my witnesses, he tells Israel. And all the while that Israel's being his witnesses, guess what we are? We're ruling and reigning with Jesus. No big deal. Really? It is a big deal. We are a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, you know, that we should show forth the praises of him that called us out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.